to join me in a prayer for his health. I personally know how effective prayers of Vaishnavas are before, during, and after a surgery, and I really want to request you all to join me in a moment of silent prayer. But before doing so, I want to read you a letter which Maharaj wrote. It goes like this: Dear Vaishnava friends and all, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Time is like a river. It is moving along, and with it there are so many occurrences that are going wild, and all I can do is to go along with them and keep my balance. We are in the river of time, and there's so many things going on, Maharaj says. Wild waves, and all we can do is try to keep our balance. Very nicely put. Only days ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. The tumor has already been removed by operation. Now a second operation is due to remove the surrounding tissue. It may or may not end there. That will come out after some more time. So far it has not been found that the cancer has spread to other places in the body. Let's hope it will remain so. Lord Krishna is the supreme controller, and we are little controllers. And in this situation, there's not much for me to control. I cannot steer my boat on the now wild river of time. I have to just go along with things and see what will come on the way. So far there is realistic chance of survival, but let's see how things will evolve. You please kindly pray for me. Either in this world or the next, I am in Krishna's hands. I will let you know more as things develop. The doctors are advising me not to have many visitors because there will be some radiation and chemo involved, which breaks down the immune system. We can't afford to catch something on top of all of this. So I will write the update from time to time. My heart goes out to so many wonderful people that I have met everywhere. And if Krishna so desires, I hope that we can meet again and spend many inspiring moments together. Your servant Kadamba Kamala Swami. So I request you to let us have a moment of silent prayer. I do hope that you can respect this and not make noise during this time. I think you have this cultural ability in you. So let us now be silent and pray for Maharaj. Will be centered around a song, and I will use the translation and prompt of Srila Prabhupada when we sing this song. So for now, before this, I would like to introduce the subject matter, and I believe our devotees are ready for the song when it comes. Thank you very much. First of all, thank you all very much for being with us already so early in the morning. For some of you, it's early. For others, it is a regular thing to come to a morning Bhagavatam class. I would like to set a little bit the mood for the day by explaining a little bit about Lord Nityananda. As always, I will request the mothers with children that if your children are feeling that this is too many people in one room and the rest is, please the full responsibility for your well-being, for the well-being of the children. So it is said in a prayer that the full glories of Lord Nityananda are very rarely known. In fact, the Vedas conceal the full glories, they hide the full glories of Lord Nityananda. It is also said that only if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives someone special kripa, special mercy, will he be able to understand Lord Nityananda. So, if we want to understand Lord Nityananda, we need to first of all go a little back. Now, there's the Lord of all, the Karana Sarva Karana, the cause of all causes and all expansions. What is one of the names of that Lord which is very dear to us? Krishna, you know everything. Yes, Krishna. So he is that Adi Purusha, that original supreme person. Now, when he expands, he becomes Balaram. Now it's already here where our mundane logic falters and stumbles and can't really follow. What do you mean he expands? Yes, his second self is Lord Balaram. In this world, we only find that a person has different roles. For instance, Jai Gopal was this morning the Danga player, but he can also be a driver, and he is also an intellectual, and he is an accomplished eater. Now, all these are different roles which are performed by the same person. The intellectual is there in him when he plays Madanga, and so is the Madanga player there when he drives his car. They are all in one. So in the same way, Krishna, when he expands, is all in one. He's the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. But what is different to a human being who just has different roles is that when Krishna expands and remains the same in all these roles, when Krishna expands, his expansions take different identities, if you so want, but remain the same. The only way to understand this is with the well-loved and appreciated example of the expansions of a candle. All these many second and third and fourth candles which I ignite from the first candle have the same light, but at the same time they are different candles, right? It's the same fire there. So the Lord is fully identical with Lord Balaram. However, there is a slight difference. Jiva Goswami explains this difference very, very nicely. He says, if you ask Krishna who's God, Krishna replies, me. If you ask Balaram, his first expansion, who is God, Balaram answers,
Krishna.
But he is Krishna. There is, however, a point for us to relish. Balaram expands, and at the expansion, he becomes the devotee of the Lord. He facilitates in all the ways which is possible Krishna's enjoyment. He becomes the land on which the Lord walks. He becomes the throne on which the Lord sits. He becomes the shoes in which his feet rest. He becomes the umbrella which protects him against the sun, and so on. Pleasing Krishna is his life and soul. This is how you can understand Lord Balaram. And so these two, Krishna and Balaram, come into the age of Kali, and the most merciful of all incarnations, who give what no one has given. The reason is simply that in other incarnations people had some qualifications, so the Lord was responding to the qualifications. We have little qualifications, although we tend to be very charitable with ourselves and see many good qualities in us. But from a more objective standpoint and not so subjective, we are residents of a very, very unspiritual age, and therefore have, when it comes to spiritual qualifications, of very little. Maybe the best qualification is humility, that is the vision of reality and see of what is going on with us and with the age. But that's very difficult also, as well known. So anyways, therefore the incarnations of this age have to be very merciful, because they are very fallen. They cannot demand much qualifications because they are not there. That's the essence of the descent of Krishna Balaram in the age of Kali. Prabhupada was so eager to show the mercy of Krishna Balaram in the age of Kali that he installed Krishna Balaram as the main deities in his main temple, that is the Vrindavan temple. In Vrindavan, only Radha and Krishna are worshipped usually as the entire focus. But Prabhupada wanted to make a point. In this age of Kali, Krishna Balaram have appeared, and then you go to the next altar as Gaura Nithai, an altar which is next to the central altar. So there are two biographies about the times of Chaitanya and Nityananda. One is known as Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the second is known as Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now these biographies have something very, very, a very interesting difference. There's the writer of Chaitanya Charitamrita is a devotee of Srimati Radhika. The writer of Chaitanya Bhagavat is a devotee of Balaram, a cowherd boy in the spiritual world. Vrindavan does, now Krishna does Kaviraj Goswami. The main biography of Chaitanya Lila glorifies mainly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is in a spiritual identity as a manjari, a maidservant in waiting of Srimati Radharani. And therefore is very close to Radha. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but in the mood of Radharani, you know everything. So therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who in his eternal identity in Goloka Vrindavan relates to Radha more, is passionately glorifying the incarnation of the age of quarrel, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Lord Krishna, trying to find our Srimati Radharani's mood and understanding. Now, Vrindavanadas Thakur is different. He's not a maidservant of Radha. He is a cowherd boy, a friend of Lord Baladev. And he will passionately glorify Lord Balaram's appearance in the age of Kali as Lord Nityananda. Now we as devotees, simple devotees who are not very special, although we like to believe that, we worship always Krishna and Balaram together and always Chaitanya and Nityananda together. Only exception is when there is when there are not two separate places on the altar, but when there's one place, then we worship only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the combined incarnation. Generally, especially in Srila Prabhupada's dispensation of Krishna consciousness, we always go to the two who are in the spiritual world, brothers, Balaram and Krishna. Also, we worship them, believe it or not, as brothers when they come as Gaurinitai. Because although they were born in different places by different parents, in their relationship, they feel as brothers. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, when he speaks about Nityananda, he says, Borodada. Borodada means older brother. He feels like this because this comes with the understanding that, that Lord has expanded in Balaram, and they are therefore the closest relationship to call them as brothers. So even in this world, we understand them as Krishna Balaram, and therefore we call them brothers, although they were born from different, appeal through different families in entirely different places, and so on. You can see, I want to explain this a little bit. Now, when we hear so much tattva, our head begins to spin, especially in the morning where we have not slept in our beds and are a little grumpy still. Therefore, I want to make it now a little bit more close to us. There's a wonderful song by Narottam Das Thakur where he points out the unique position of Lord Nityananda and with it the need for every Vaishnava to build up a relationship with Nityananda. He gives there a progression of how someone can advance in the age of Kali. He says, first we need to cultivate our attachment for the most merciful incarnation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we need to embrace the gift he has given to us, that is the Hare Krishna Mantra with prema. But then we need to do something else. We need to beg for the mercy of his older brother, Lord Nityananda, because if Lord Nityananda is pleased, he can give you the spiritual strength which is necessary to become free from your samsara vasana. What is samsara vasana? Samsara means, of course, the repeated material existence, birth and death in this world, which goes on in a cyclic way. After each birth, death comes. After each death, the next birth comes. And in this way, the samsara moves, the wheel, it's called sometimes, the wheel of samsara moves. And there are things in you which keep you firmly bound on this wheel of samsara. It's like the ropes which keep you bound. These are deep impressions in the heart. Sometimes translators who do a hasty job, a quick job, describe these as desires. That's a not very unphilosophical translation. And vasana is much more than a passing desire. A vasana is your desireness, the quality of having selfish desires, which is a deep, deep impression. In medieval time, when they wanted to slowly kill someone, they would bind him on a wheel, and then I don't know what they would do with him, nor do I want to know in this stage. And even if I knew, I would not want to tell it to you. But they would torture him to death somehow on the wheel. I don't know how, but as I said, I'm not such a violent person that I would like to talk about it. So if you stay bound on the wheel of samsara by your vasana, means your deep impressions for material enjoyment, no? You have no chance to go enter the spiritual world. You will do what many modern Vaishnavas like to do. They just ignore it and just paint a nice picture over the samsara vasanas to present themselves as advanced souls to the world. But it just won't work, because deep inside, the wheel is turning. The wheel which is nourished by your vasanas, your deep impressions for material life. And this necessary surgery to cut you free from the samsara, wheel of samsara, is done by Lord Nityananda. So we will sing now this song to Lord Chaitanya, which talks about this progression. Have you sometimes tried to change yourself, Siamachanda? And have you noticed that sometimes you remain the same although you wanted to change yourself? And have you asked yourself the questions? I just wanted to talk, speak a little lively. It's every one of us. Have you sometimes tried to transform yourself and then become frustrated by seeing that, oh no, I'm still the same? Has this happened? No, you are all very advanced. Have you sometimes become even, has this question ever arisen in you, how will I ever change? Sometimes I think we have banged our head against the TV set, which we are bound to hell with sleep. When will I ever become free from you ugly black box? When will I become free from my desires? So I think we can all, at least the older devotees, the younger devotees think, no, everything will be in 2 weeks, I'm a pure devotee. The older devotees, you can all understand, this is an important subject matter. It comes down to existential questions. So good. So we will sing this now, this song. I will read the translation to you first. When will the hair on my body stand on end upon chanting Gauranga? Little hair is coming. When will my eyes overflow with tears upon chanting Hari Hari?
Hari Hari!
Good! And when will the moon like Nityananda Prabhu bestow his mercy upon me? When will my material desires, my samsara vasanas, become insignificant to me? Prabhupada said, when will it become tucha? Tucha is something so small that you just throw it away. When will my mind become purified by renouncing material enjoyment? When will I see Sri Vrindavan Dham? When will I develop eagerness for the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, by whose mercy I will be able to understand the priti, the love of the divine couple? Let all my hopes and aspirations remain at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath. This is the constant prayer of this Narottam. So let us see Gaurahari. This will be Gaurahari. He is most probably busy doing all the thousand things which we need to do for him. And there is his expansion to go.
Gauranga bolite hobe ula kashari. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Srila Prabhupada speaks about this need to become free from what stops us to move freely in Krishna consciousness. Then he says, Prabhupada speaks about the author of this song, Narottama Das Thakur. Then he says, Ara kabe nitai chanda karuna oibe. We are all asking about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda is supposed to be the original spiritual master. So we have to approach Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, through the mercy of Lord
Nityananda.
Now, Prabhupada asks the question, what is the symptom of a person who has achieved the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda? Narottama Das Thakur says that the symptom of one who has actually received the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda is that he has a lot of money. This is communistic spirituality that said if God gives you the mercy, you have money. But that is Swiss interpretation of theology. So let us ask the question again. What is the symptoms of a person who has achieved the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda? Narottama Das Thakur says that the symptom of one who has actually received the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda is that he has no more material desire. Ara kabe nitai chanda karuna hoibe sangsara bhasana mora kabe tucha habe. Samsara vasana means desire for material enjoyment. And Narottama Das wonders when it will become very insignificant. Of course, as long as we have bodies, Prabhupada says something so that we don't panic now. Of course, as long as we have bodies, we have to accept so many material things, but not in the spirit of enjoyment, but only to keep body and soul together. And then the song progresses. As we said, when you become attached to Gauranga and chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Lord Nityananda will be pleased. And because he is Balaram, the first God expansion, so to say, to put it in modern terms, he can supply you with what you need most in your spiritual journey, that is spiritual strength. And by this spiritual strength, the spiritual enjoyment, your desire to your bond to the wheel of samsara, your ropes which are holding you tight, they will be cut and you will be free person. So there's a saying in Vaishnava circles. It said, in the age of Kali, the demons are hiding in our own hearts. Now it says, the demons which Lord Rama would kill were spared by Krishna. The demons which Lord Krishna would kill were given mercy by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One example is the Chankatsi, who opposed the spreading of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement violently, you know, by beating devotees so that blood came. and destroying them, the Dangas. So this Chankasi, in the previous time, in the Krishna time, who was he?
Kamsa.
What did Krishna do with him?
Killed him.
Yes. He disposed of him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not kill this. In fact, he organized a non-violent resistance movement, but his followers were not into non-violence at that time. When they arrived at the house of the Chankasi, who had really beaten devotees, destroyed and tortured people, Hindus, you know, the followers of Lord Chaitanya started to smash his garden and set fire to the house. They were 100,000 strong, you know. They were not afraid any longer. But Lord Chaitanya stopped all this violence and he said, "No, I will talk with Chankasi and you will see he will cry in love of God." So those demons which were killed by Lord Krishna were given mercy by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there were some demons, but in particular two demons, whom Lord Chaitanya was about to kill, and they were delivered by Lord Nityananda and then given Krishna Prema. Do you know these two? Jaga and Madai. So Narottam Das Thakur says, "You are so merciful. You are the last end of mercy, so to say. You can't go further. I need your mercy." So in the Kali Yuga, as we heard, the demons, there are some demons outside also, but the main demons we are concerned with are these deep-rooted material impressions which always pull us from the spiritual path. These deep impressions give us a material vision so that we have a material perspective of the devotees of Krishna. These deep material impressions, these samsara vasanas, give us this material vision also on Krishna consciousness, so that we think, it's one of the many spiritual movements, and it is a movement in which has also internal troubles. I can see that very clearly with my material vision. I'm not saying troubles are not there. I'm speaking of a particular vision. Sometimes, have you noticed this material vision is so strong that you doubt, am I really a soul or am I a creation? Or a German or an American? You begin to doubt very essential spiritual truth by that material vision. It all comes from these samskaras. If you want to hear the psychology, by these neurolinguistic paths which are in your mind. I'm looking at Ramananda. What is this? As far as I know, I'm now speaking to a doctor of psychology, or Mangala is there also. I don't know Mangala is there. But she is, PhD in psychology. As far as I know, when you always think the same things, when you do the same things, some paths in which your thoughts are appearing in your personality, they are called the neurolinguistic path. Yes? Yes. This is what I read in a book of psychology, that they sometimes quarrel amongst themselves, the psychologists. But what it means is, and then everyone agrees, that people are formed by their repeated thoughts and their repeated actions. And then their thoughts will go in this direction. They don't think anything new, and they don't do anything really new. In spiritual psychology, this would be the samskaras, right? The deep impressions which are building different thought patterns in you, different personality traits, and also different habits. And it is said it's a very, 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 very difficult to just become free from these eingetretene Denkfahre, these impressions which have been deepened in you. So the question really is, how will we then get something so spiritual, something so absolutely transcendental as love of God is, as long as we have these deeply rooted attachments? To make it a little clear what we are talking about, now, Prabhupada once made an evening walk in Haiti. Is it called Haiti? Haiti, yes. So who of you has been in Haiti? Jacobin, no? Haiti has one of the most beautiful sunsets. The most beautiful sunset, according to Alfred Hitchcock, is in Zadar. But others say, no, Haiti is better. So there was once that Prabhupada was on a walk, and they saw this tremendous, overwhelming sunset. And one devotee said, Prabhupada, look at this beautiful sunset. At certain times, Prabhupada would say, let us appreciate the universal form, and the sunset is a part of the universal form. But on this evening walk, he was in the mood of a teacher, of bhakti, and he wanted to make an unforgettable point. He said, however nice you feel that sunset, that is how much longer you have to stay in this material world. Again, for those who are really impressed by New Age thinking, yes, Prabhupada would see in the sunset also the smile of God. But here he took another perspective. His perspective here is that the mind must become free, or must become, I will say it positively, absolutely absorbed in the beauty of Krishna. Narottama Sagar speaks about this. When my mind is completely purified, being freed from all material anxieties and desires, then only I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, and then my spiritual life is successful. So I think by now you understand a little bit how deep this philosophy of Krishna consciousness reaches, and how it is not afraid to reach into the most private parts of your personality and pull something out which you don't want that others see it. Material anxieties, material involvement, absorption in the material energy, and so on. Samsara vasanas. My dear devotees, these things, these ultimate obstacles in spiritual life, can only be released by Bhakta Kripa, mercy of the devotees, and the Bhakti Bala, the strength of deep, deep, deep bhakti in the heart. In the Damodara Lila, Lord Krishna did not want to be captured by his mother Yashoda, who did not wish her son to become a thief. So then Krishna stole again butter and then fed it to the monkeys. He you know, then he thought, wow, my voice character is really going down the drain here. And some dangers there. He's now stealing butter, then he will steal chariots, then he will steal countries, who knows? You know, he's so restless, so I better show him the right path. And she wanted to bind him. And you know, like when a naughty child is there, you bind him so that he can't move for some time, and then he knows, okay, I better behave, otherwise I'm a prisoner. So then Krishna, of course, as you know, Mother Yashoda tried to bind him, but the rope remained always 2 fingers too short. No matter how many ropes she attached to the first rope, it was many, many ropes, the rope fell short by 2 fingers and Krishna could not be bound. He wanted to show with this in spiritual life, you must make your endeavor, but this is one part, but only when the second part is there, that is my mercy, will you be able to be ultimately successful. It's a celebrated pastime, and in the Govardhan retreat 2016, the upcoming one, that pastime will have the place of honor. We will think about it 7 days. But to move on here, I would like to say there is these 2 things. You must endeavor, but ultimately, no matter how hard you endeavor, even Yashoda, who is Parika, liberated associate, tried to bind him with all endeavor, you can't get Krishna like that. Only when he compliments your compliments or makes complete, only if he makes your endeavor complete by giving his mercy, then it's there. Prabhupada therefore says, he says something. Here I wanted to say, our main obstacles is really that we are not yet convinced that the material world is what it is, a reflection of the spiritual reality. We sometimes think the material world is more real than the spiritual world. And Prabhupada says, this is the problem. He says, spiritual advancement is possible only when one is convinced that this material world and this material happiness have no value. It has some value when you are always depressed and distressed, but here another, not depression is the standard by which we measure, but the eternal spiritual world is the standard by which we measure. You need to understand this cannot give me any real bliss of life. This conviction is very much necessary. One cannot go to Vrindavan by force and then live there and then think, oh yes, this is how I achieve my transcendental bliss. No. One has to make his mind free from all material desires. Then one can live in Vrindavan and relish its residential benefit. So how, my dear devotees, will this take place? How will these deep-rooted attachments which keep us bound in the samsara? It's clear that you think the material world is enjoyable. You will get chance after chance to see this and find out in different life forms. But if you want to go to the eternal spiritual world, you have to lift the anchor. So how will we do this? How will the consciousness be purified? It's ultimately a question of bhakti. Are you ready to hear a Bhagavatam text, which is really, really revolutionary? It's really something. It will talk about how the consciousness can be effectively purified. It starts, if one's hairs don't stand up in ecstasy, how can the heart melt? You know, how can this hard heart melt if you don't feel spiritual ecstasy? If one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one hope to render loving service to the Lord? And without such loving service, how can the consciousness be purified? So we need bhakti, in other words. We need to be inundated with another feeling, a feeling of love. You find this also in the world, in this world. Someone can leave something if he falls in love with something else. Like, I remember I was so attached to Winnie. Winnie, you don't know what is Winnie. Every North German child knows what is Winnie. And Winnie is a puppet like this, who can swim. You can go with Winnie even to bathe. So I was so much attached to Winnie. It's a little puppet with big eyes. He looks a little like Lord Jagannath. I know. We once were going for holidays to Austria, from Hamburg to Austria. Halfway, I think in Cologne or somewhere, I noticed Winnie is not with us. And I said to my parents, I'm not going to Austria without Winnie. And then my mother had to travel back with me to get Winnie from Hamburg and then go down with him to Austria. I was so attached. Nowadays, I'm not even thinking of Winnie. This is the first time since 50 years where I think of Winnie, because I want to make you understand I'm grabbing for it. Now I'm attached to this jacket, for instance. It's a very nice jacket. I don't want to give it up, although everyone says, look, if you look like a beggar, it's black here and so on. But I'm attached to this jacket. It's really warm. And so on. No longer Winnie. I love the jacket now. And by this love, I'm free from the attachment to Vinny. By love, this is my point, by an emotional absorption into something or someone, you can give up the old attachments as insignificant. This is the point of this example. So, this love of Godhead, which will help us to give up material things which we hold on, will come only if this bhakti comes in our heart and purifies our consciousness. And this bhakti, my dear devotees, is different from material psychological emotions. Bhakti is always a divine gift. It has to come and be given from the Lord via, through his devotees. So it's a stream which has to come, which flows from up and comes to us here. Now, Vrindavan Das Thakur speaks about a bhakti inundation. Inundation is something like an overflooding, überfluten of bhakti. He says, he prays, Lord Nityananda is famous for inundating the universe with love of Godhead. His tongue is always vibrating the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who sincerely wish to overcome the ocean of material existence, the samsara, and those who attain love of Godhead must, therefore worship Lord Nityananda. Let us now hear about the worship of Lord Nityananda and how we can sincerely build on our relationship with Nityananda. Because let us remember, it's a secret. This is this divine dispensation of bhakti is not really talked openly in the Vedic scriptures. You hear it by the devotees of Lord Nityananda, who quote Vedic evidences from the scriptures, and they help us to see what we have not seen without their help, that is the glories of Lord Nityananda. I need to now look at that. Yes. I have to make it shorter what I wanted to say. Let me just say, yeah. You know, when Lord Chaitanya, something about the history, and then in this historical frame, Lord Nityananda's personality will appear for our attention. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, he had received his an initiation in the Gopal Mantra. And he was a different person. Previously, he was the topmost scholar. But now he was the topmost of all devotees. He started his Sankirtan movement first behind closed doors in the house of Srivas Pandit, but then he took the kirtan, when the devotees had become a little strong, out and took it on the streets. There was an immediate opposition by the Muslim government. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reacted to the opposition of the government by arranging a march with 100,000 people where he stormed the palace of the Muslim governor, the Chankasi, who then became a follower of Mahaprabhu. Now, very soon after that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave an instruction to two stalwart personalities, Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. The instruction was Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shiksha. You go to every door in Navadvip and repeat this. Bajo Krishna, worship Krishna. Bolo Krishna, sing his holy names. Koro Krishna Shiksha. Follow the instructions of Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And then these two went out to the every door, knocked and said, Bolo Krishna, say Krishna. I beg you, say Krishna. The Navadvipa Vasi said, Krishna, Krishna, yes, Krishna. Bajo Krishna, worship, follow Krishna's instructions. It was really door-to-door Sankirtan, as we say. Now one day, one of the preachers, Haridas Thakur, came back with bad news. He was an elderly renunciant. He had been accustomed to chant in solitude, not to knock at people's doors. And he reported, I don't believe I can survive much longer by going out with my man preaching partner, Nityananda. Just, he reported to all the devotees who were sitting there, just think of this Nityananda. When he sees crocodiles in the Ganga, what does he do? He jumps into the Ganga and plays with them. At other times, he just dives into the Ganga and swims with the current. you know, in Mayapur, there's every Gopunim festival an announcement, don't go and swim in the Ganga. And then, of course, all the Western devotees go and swim in the Ganga, and then the next morning is another announcement. Just now, just yesterday, a devotee who went into the Ganga died. The current, every year, when I was there, someone dies by drowning in the Ganga. Nityananda jumps into the Ganga, said Haridas, and he drifts around, and then he sees people on the bank who say, don't do this, don't do this. He begins to abuse them, and he says, you weaklings. Sometimes he goes to young girls, he folds his hands and smiles at them and says, will you marry me? And then he runs into people's backyards. When he sees these dangerous bulls, he jumps on top of the bulls. And what does he do? He screams out, Mahesh! Mahesh, Mahesh is the name of Shiva. Then he jumps off the back of the bulls who go wild, laughs, and runs to the cows and drinks from their udders. But this is nothing. I would not complain here. He's a paduta. He's a different category than us normal people. But yesterday, he went to the two plunderers and the banshees in Navadvip who kill without mercy, who rape without mercy, and he said, please chant Hare Krishna. Of course, they became mad at him. They jumped up, and because I'm always his partner, I'm getting always half of what he gets. And they ran after us, attempting to kill us. And then we could escape with our life, but he has made a plan. Tomorrow he wants to go again. And he thinks my Lord Gauranga will be praised when they become devotees. So I don't know if I can survive another day with this. Then Advaitacharya smiled and said, ah, it's a good combination. They are mad and he is mad. But then he became serious. I declare publicly, anyone upon whom the glance of Nityananda has fallen is saved from the repeated cycle of birth and death. Lord Chaitanya was there and he nodded his head, became very serious. These two will become great devotees and cry with love of Godhead simply because Nityananda is willing this. The next morning, Lord Nityananda walked in his careless way. It is described he walked like a careless child through the town. There was not many people on the roads because Jagan and Mata were lying there, and they were totally drunk that morning already. It's already 8 o'clock to be drunk. It's quite something. And they were fighting with each other. They were ripping each hairs out. They were curling abuses. They were drooling. No one was daring to come close to them. Nityananda, as he wandered around town, went to one of them, Madai, and stood there smiling blissfully. Madai, who are you? And some call me the Avaduta. Avaduta is a personality who is beyond all rules and regulations, beyond all understanding. He's absorbed in another reality and is totally full of bliss because of that higher connection. And he's not thinking any longer like us who are controlled by our neuro-linguistic paths, so to say, a different category of being.
Ah, said Madai. You're the Avaduta, hey?
He broke a clay pot, which was now as sharp as a knife, and just hit the forehead of Lord Nityananda and inflicted a deep, deep cut, not a small cut, a deep cut, and blood began gushing all over the face. And then he took the pot and wanted to do the killing. At that moment, Jagai, his drunken partner, just took the arm and said, "Leave him, don't you see? He's a wandering mendicant, he's a saint." People who saw this, Lord Nityananda standing there, you know, the blood was coming, it was not a small thing, you know. They ran to Lord Chaitanya, they informed him. Lord Chaitanya jumped up and became so angry. He started to run and he looked like the fire of destruction at the end of the cosmos. While he was running, he was getting ready. He called, "Chakra, Chakra," and the chakra came down from Vaikuntha. It's the weapon of Lord Chaitanya in Vaikuntha, the Narayan weapon. It was, he shouted, ready to take Madai's life. But Nityananda intervened. Said, don't do it. It's not painting at all. Do it. Madai is a good person. Just now coming. If in this incarnation, you're not in this incarnation doing what you did in other incarnations, that is, kill the demons. You're not doing this. This is not the time. This is 5,000 years back. This is the time where you show your mercy to the most fallen. And please, this is the purpose of your incarnation. I beg you, save Madai. No, said Lord Chaitanya. I saved one of them, this Jagai. But Madai was going for the kill. Don't do, you know, street fighting when the other draws the knife. And now he has a knife and he's now going at you. And do you know, he wants to get you. This is saying going for the kill in street fighting language. Madai was doing that. I will not forgive him. And the chakra was there. Chakra can annihilate everything, no problem. But the chakra didn't know what to do. It was an indecision. Nityananda said, "On my behalf, I have forgiven Madai. I request you, don't kill him." Garaga Mahaprabhu, and the chakra disappeared. But still, there was so much sin in the atmosphere. Later, Gauranga Mahaprabhu absorbed all the sin of Jagai and Madai, and for a moment his body became all black. Then he said, "These are sinful reactions, like the world has never seen. I will distribute all these sinful reactions to those who offend Vaishnavas." Everyone gets a little. And then he said, "Never think of Jagai and Madai again as sinners. Krishna will now eat through their mouths because they have gotten the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Even if someone should just pick a leaf and offer it to them, the Lord will accept it through the mouth of Jagai and Madai." My devotees, this was such a transformation. The Jagai and Madai totally changed. They got up very early each morning and took their bath in the Ganga. They chanted two legs. That's 2 times 64 rounds. That's a lot. Each single day. And while they chanted, they cried tears of love. This is what the transformation means. This is what the inundation means. If I just think about this, just think about it. Can you think about it? Manoram, is it conceivable? It's almost inconceivable for me. But they really changed. This is what I described, the samsara vasanas, these old habits of thinking, they were gone. They were always crying. One day, Madai, who could not forgive himself, came to Lord Nityananda. He was accepted by all the devotees as a perfect soul, but he could not forgive himself. He said, "My Lord, in the previous incarnation of Balaram, if someone just would ignore you like Romahashana Sutta, you would take his life with a straw." I have not just ignored you. I have hurt you. I have drawn your blood. And you have forgiven me. I can't believe this. And Lord Nityananda says, "You are now a great devotee. Jaga, you need to understand one thing. You are my servitor. Is the father disturbed if his little child hits him?" Or have you ever, those who have children, have you seen sometimes they get so... I've seen this often. We have a child in the Schloss. His name is Devamrita. Oh, if he gets angry, he hits his father and the postman. But everyone laughs at him. Oh, he's just a little child. His tooth is coming and he's a little bit... irritable and so on. So Lord Nityananda said, "Jagai, is the father disturbed if his little child hits him? I accepted your meeting in this parental mood. But what is more important to me is that anyone who hears your prayers will certainly develop love for my lotus feet." Lord Nityananda then embraced Lord Madai, took away again all the sinful reactions. Then Madai said, "My dear Lord, but this is fine that you have forgiven me, but what is about the people? Some of you are some of them are your devotees. I don't even know whom I have beaten up. I was drunk. I don't know whom I have offended. I don't know. I don't remember." Then Lord Nityananda said, "Listen very carefully, oh Madai. You just stay at the bathing ghats next to Mother Ganga and clean them and help the people when they take their bath in these bathing ghats and in Mother Ganga. And listen, with your own effort, you should build another ghat, your own ghat, the Madai ghat. And there you should stay and serve the people." My dear devotees, what should you do when you have offended Vaishnavas? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought it could be a problem for your spiritual life? I think we have felt after we have offended devotees that somehow bhakti went and we became dry. Yes? No?
Yes.
Prabhupada was once asked this. What should one do when one has offended devotees unknowingly even, and therefore does not know how to beg for forgiveness? And he said something very nice. Very practical. He answered, in this case, you recite the Vaishnav Pranam Mantra daily. Let us do. And then he says, that will make up for all Vaishnav offenses, also those which we have committed unknowingly. Let me summarize, because time is also there. Once Prabhupada said something which I feel is a little bit the summary of this lecture. To approach Radha, and Krishna, one needs the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you need the mercy of Lord
Nityananda.
Thank you. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach people like Jagai and Madai, which means you do something for the benefit of others. My own exalted spiritual master always told me something which has given me like a lifeline. He said, if you at all feel indebted to me, then... No, he said, didn't say this to me personally, to all his disciples. But it was in one letter, and I always took this, tried to take it serious, and it has helped me to overcome, to stay on the path in some in this way. If you at all feel indebted to me, then you should preach vigorously, like me. And that is the proper way to repay me. Of course, no one can repay the debt of the spiritual master, but the spiritual master is very much pleased by such an attitude by the disciple. There's one devotee amongst us, an old devotee, who has taken this very seriously. His motto is to put the name of Krishna in every German household, and believe it or not, he's coming close to it. His factory makes sweets which are offered to Radha Madan Mohan, and they are called the Govinda sweets. And now on the last Biomesse in Nuremberg, big Biomesse, Govinda, the company Govinda, was celebrated as the most conscious, super aware, vegan, company, and so on. And everyone said, Govinda is so good, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. chanting, giving mercy, thinking how I can do something to please, to approach the people and give and be beneficial. Let us not be selfish. Selfishness brings us only to the next pizza, not further. Let us be selfless and do something for the benefit of others, and that brings us back home, back to Godhead. Much further, much longer way. Selfless service for the benefit of others. Very, very important. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, I must now stop, but I cannot stop. I cannot stop before telling you something personal. A personal conviction in my spiritual life. I have seen that by my own endeavors I will push a few borders of my personality. Yes, something can be done. And I will keep on endeavoring. That part I have to do as a conditioned soul. But really, the major changes which will bring me from here to there, that is, from the material to the spiritual world, the major changes have to be done by giving mercy. And that type of mercy which we need, or which I'm looking for, is really to have that ecstatic love of Godhead. That's not forbidden in ISKCON. It is said we are, love of God is what we are wanting. And I'm just saying, but I'm expressing it now in a little bit, thought-provoking way. That's why I'm introducing it like this. Of course, this is the aim of our movement. But I want to say, I feel really this verse which I read to you, how can the consciousness ever be purified? Without loving service, bhakti, how can the heart ever melt if you don't feel this ecstatic Krishna consciousness and your hairs stand on end? And how can you do this loving service if you are doing it depressed or by how can you do it if you don't cry in spiritual happiness? This verse, if you think this can't be in our books, it is there. Please find it. It's in the Bhagavatam 11:14-23. You know, this is what we hold dear. I'm speaking a little bit like this because we don't think about this often enough. We have so many things to think about. Oh, this, and how to overcome that problem. Ooh. We are such negative people. No, because the world is so negative and it influences us. What other chance we have then to react and think about this new issue and that new issue and that new issue and this problem? But yes, we need to do our duty, but our change in heart, so that we can become real devotees and not just shadow devotees, is when we get this inundation, this overflooding, this mercy. And when I look, you know, when you want to have that, you will automatically look, how can I get it? Well, chanting, we always hear, is purifying the heart. So let me get into chanting. But from whom can I get this? Where is the incarnation of the Lord who is giving that? And under what condition is he ready to give it? And the answer is Nityananda, who is pleased when we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission. And then he gives that ecstatic. And therefore, each Nityananda's appearance day is it starts 1 week before when I have to think about the lecture. And I want to give a lecture which is alive. I just don't want to just copy verses, ping, 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 that you can do if you know the Vedavas very nicely. It goes ping, 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 half an hour, and the most scholarly lecture is prepared. I wish to talk about the things which I really also, where I have a personal relationship to, and getting mercy in order to really change these things, these obstacles in devotional service, these samsara vasana, for me is the main subject, and that brings me always to the lotus feet of Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They should be worshipped together. You can't just worship one and leave the other. But that is, and that I hope to discuss today a little. This evening there will be Nityananda Katha, and then you will really roll on the floor in ecstasy if you hear what Lord Nityananda did once a long time ago. Then you really think, okay, I'm convinced. I try it. Hare Krishna. So I will end here. Is there anyone with a relevant question to all this?
Arite kaveni pai chanda karuna.
Oops.
Karuna.
No, please think about this. Do you want to put this in the category of religious talk? Oh yes, how yoga fee, I've learned in my university that sometimes exaggerations are there in when praise is there. Ah, oh, yoga fee, it's called. Yes, yes, yes. Doesn't work today, not with me. We think spiritual life is the shadow, but the real thing, the substance, is material life. We got it all wrong. And you find that out when you're in the surgery hall. And you all of a sudden know, if he cuts me and I don't heal. You know, I have this problem that my healing is very slow, and the surgeon told me, you have a real problem. And do you know, my problem was so real that they were not allowed to give me surgery, but by the help of a few friends I got into this hall, because I know it in the end I always will survive, because I need many more years to become a devotee of Krishna, and Krishna is very merciful. So at that time, you know, when, like our Maharaji says, I hope I will see you again. This is a Hari Seva came yesterday and said it's a bösartige tumor, malicious cancer, it's called, malicious tumor, like the one which Bhakti Teta Maharaj had. So then you know it. And the soul leaves the body, leaves the shadow world, the material dimension, and you go on like you have done many times. And it needs a little preaching to the mind to understand that on this material platform there are relative platforms, relative pleasures. There is the feeling that after we have fasted on Nityananda's appearance, when finally the pizza shop opens, there is some satisfaction, of course. It goes, it's not only in the tongue. The tongue is, if it's a good pizza, usually it's burned with the tongue, because one eats too fast. But then if one has the right temperature, it goes. And then the body feels, isn't it? When you eat. No one ignores that there is the relative pleasure. That is there. It's not a fanatic statement to say that there is no bliss in the material world. When we speak of bliss, it's a different category of pleasure. It's not time-bound. It is not creating any type of reactions like burnt tongues. I mean, I always get this because I'm not so expert in pizza eating. But I know there are experts who can wait. Now! So I know the science of this. But yes, there is some relative thing, but it doesn't compare to eternal bliss knowledge and happiness for which the soul hankers. We are made for this. That's our soul food, the eternal pleasure. The material world has body food and mind food for us, and creates physical and mental satisfaction. But spiritual satisfaction is in a different category, and I think you all know this, otherwise you wouldn't sit here. You wouldn't have come. You somehow believe in it as a, on faith at least, and on experience of the times when we have experiences. So Lord Nityananda is ready to give that highest thing, and he doesn't want anything much of you. He doesn't want renunciation. I mean, you should give your best to do the things which are, to give up the things which are not good. He doesn't look for scholarship. He doesn't look for austerities. He doesn't look for a PhD. He just looks for a simple heart which says, please give me mercy, and which glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follows the process of Mahaprabhu. Then he's ready, especially today. My dear devotees, I have a tip for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Soon the altar will open. At that time, pray like you've never prayed before. But then don't be surprised if it works. So pray carefully. Pray what comes from the heart, and you will see miracles. I'm very sure. I think that is your just reward, your rechte Belohnung. You have come here in the midst of winter. Ooh, it's so cold. It's so little opportunity for peace. One devotee told me, I'm snoring in the night, and I therefore left my room, which is next to yours, because it's really loud. It goes through the walls. All right, you can stay in the room. I also have heard from Ram Maharaj, with whom I was sharing a room, that I also snore. I can oversnore you. You have come here, taken all this austerity, even leaving your room. Ooh, such good-hearted person you are. And you should have a reward. You have struggled so hard to stay in Krishna consciousness. You have said so often no to the things which your mind wanted, but your intelligence said, no, this is harmful, don't leave it for now. You have done service, you are maintaining temples, you're responsible, you're managing a work life with a spiritual life. You have two lives to take care of, and you're doing that. You're doing so much seva, and so much faith is there that you come to such a festival. So much love is in your heart. You deserve that now the last anchor, so to say, is lifted in your life, and that you can move forward without obstacles. You deserve this. And I'm nothing, but this is what Prabhupada thinks about the devotees like you. This is what Lord Nityananda thinks. You deserve. So please pray for the gift which is available on such an appearance day. Don't be shy, and pray properly. That will be very good for you. That will be better for you. You do this. Hare Krishna. So I'm finished now. I saw some questions, but I saw questions. Where are the questions? Govinda, yes, would you mind? Ich habe dir gerade einen Brief geschrieben. I just wrote you a letter. Manu, you have a question.
Thank you, Maharaj. You spoke nicely about the fact that it's very important to ask forgiveness, especially as devotees, when you've done offenses to others, and obviously we all know often what is stopping us from doing this is our ego, because the pride can stop us from doing the proper step. Now, you gave a wonderful answer to that particular aspect. My question is more in the reverse, which is when there's strong offenses that are being done by a devotee towards others, or including yourself and to others, how to give forgiveness when you feel that it's very conflicting, that you know genuinely, philosophically, you can say, yes, I forgive you, but in your heart, are you really forgiving them because you know that this offense was quite strong? What do you do in such a situation?
Yeah.
Have you understood the question? You see someone else committing offenses against devotees, maybe including yourself also. So how can you forgive that person? There are really two levels on which you have to deal with offenses committed by someone. One is a practical level, practical in the sense of dealing with the situation. Another is a spiritual one. On the spiritual one, the Dalai Lama was once asked by a reporter, you know the Dalai Lama, his stance is that the Chinese policies against Tibet is very violent and bad, but the Chinese are the people as a people are to be forgiven, but not what is done. No? So that's his end. But then the reporter asked, but how can you forgive these people who have... And then the Dalai Lama gave a very, very good answer. Sometimes his answers are not so pleasing for the hearts of the Vaishnavas, but I'm quoting this one now. He said, they have burned our temples. They have attacked and beaten the monks and the nuns. They have taken our country from us. Should I now give them the last thing I have, my heart? Should they also take that from me? Because if I hate them, I will be thinking from morning till evening, Chinese, 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 China, 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 China. Should I give them my heart? No. Therefore, I forgive them. Not the actions. So forgiving is freeing you. Forgiving, also a step higher, if you can come a step higher, is you have to see this is a karmic situation which is there. The person who is so bad is caught up in the noose of karma. He's a conditioned soul. But because there is the action and the words and the results of the actions and the words, something must be done on a practical level. And when there are Vaishnava offenders, depending how strong the offense is, not everything is so strong, but then it must be dealt practically. The devotee, in his own interest, must be made aware of what he did, and it must be told. And if it's so bad that he doesn't, if he's in such a situation that he can't listen, then you go to the persons who are higher than him. That works mostly very good. If it's really an offender, that works best. Someone who's higher, in a higher position,
and whom he either respects by the law of hierarchy or by the law of food, because he might be thrown out if he doesn't respect him. So that has to be done also in a responsible way. What I do recommend, sometimes a person who offends you will not be able to listen to you because he looks at you through a black glass. What he sees of you is all the black, only black, because he so how can he listen to you? So it is normally good if you to save yourself from the kickboxing match with him, you know. In other words, how you can detach yourself from this situation, you need to make some distance and let others help the person to step out of the self-chosen kickboxing ring. If you know what kickboxing is, it hurts so much, you know, the poor guys who are in there and so on. So the and Vaishnava bad dealings, it happens. Just look at Nityananda's glories, Manu. He didn't judge Jagai and Mada. He didn't have that vision. Isn't that amazing? There was blood. He needed, you know, there was blood gushing. But he does not see the faults of others. It's just inconceivable to us. And that's why he is Lord Nityananda, and we are ourselves. We are not like this. We can also not imitate. So therefore, I gave this very practical and spiritual advice to get out of the kickboxing ring with that person. It's bad. Anyone suffers in that ring. The better is you say no need and go through the ropes out. If he should continue to kick and box in his little mental prison, then some others need to help him to get out of that situation. This is very practical. So, Bal Govinda, ganz kurz vielleicht.
Ja, Guruji. I would like to ask, where is spiritual world? Where is material world? And where is the difference between them?
The spiritual world is here, and the material world is here. The difference is in your consciousness. When you are in spiritual consciousness, you are in the spiritual world. When you are in material consciousness, you are in the material world. No, it's a short. I know there's not much more to say about it. It's really. Hey, Mangshu. Our second guide, Gaurahari, was the guide, and Vaijayanti. Through Vrindavan, and Hemangshu was a Hindi-speaking guide.
Something I've been thinking about for a few months in terms of preaching, because your lecture was really talking about how by spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission to give the mercy to develop love of God, is how do we preach to intellectuals? Like, I'm a young person, and you know, when I'm on the street or if I'm doing a program, then they think, oh, you're just an unemployed monk, you're not somebody important in society. How do we actually preach to the intelligentsia of today in the Western world?
How do we actually preach to the intelligentsia in the Western world? That's a big, 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 big subject. But there is a letter I would really like to recommend to you. I can give you the place where you can find the letter afterwards. Where Prabhupada gave really detailed instructions how to preach to the intelligentsia. And what I remember is you have to appreciate them, you can't attack them immediately. And he also said you can't force externals like shaving, dress,
and so on upon them. But you must convince them by the philosophy. And you will see, at least, and I have always seen, don't feel a minority complex that you don't have money and position and education. When you say you're a monk, they usually do respect the intelligent people. They usually are not... They know when Jesus went into Jerusalem, you could not measure him by what car he drove. Was he? Well, he was only on a donkey. He had not even a Mercedes number 1011. You know, that's a simple. Or a Rolls Royce. It's all right that he went on a donkey. They feel like this, the intelligent people. They know their standards when it comes to judge a monk doesn't work. I know this with my surgeon. He is the expert, makes everyday conferences, not everyday, every week. In the weekend he's making conferences. And he really is very, very, very respectful. Although I have no money. Now I have a car, very good car, a new car which the devotees from Switzerland gave and others gave. And the other broke down. And so on. But he respects, he knows. We cannot measure by cars, by money. But you have to talk philosophy. They will accept that. You have to. You have to go to the school of preaching. It takes some time until you can address them. You need to know where are their Pavlov words. You know the words which you say. They go whoop, and then. I mean that. You know, you have to practice. Hare Krishna. It is respectable nowadays to be a monk, a spiritualist. Buddhists have helped a lot of making it respectable in the Western society. And also our devotees have helped a lot. Some devotees have not helped. By being a little immature in the process of learning, but others have. There are two devotees who were invited to Germany to speak to Lord Lorien. What is that? Cream? L'Oreal. L'Oreal. Very important cream factory. Very high cream. They are coaching them about L'Oreal people. BMW people and all this. with Gita Sutras. Also Hollywood stars, some I cannot remember, but some Hollywood stars also coached. Very important name. Once I knew the name, I said it and everyone fainted. It's a very it's respectable. But you have to act in a way that you respect. And don't dress like a beggar. Then you go to intelligent people. Only if they're Germans. Germans don't care about dress, but Italians do. Nowadays, Germany is mood is invaded by the Italian mood. Externals are very important. Okay. So I think time is also there. I would, you know, I'm once I get going, I cannot be stopped, but I need to stop.